Well, Happy New Year to all of our GoldSeek.com radio listeners from everyone here at GoldSeek.com. Today's special guest in this Gold Nugget segment, Mr. John Embry from Sprott Asset Management. John Embry is an industry expert in the precious metals. He's researched the sector for decades. He's a senior advisor at Sprott Asset Management. Welcome back, John Embry.
Chris, it's a delight.
You know, I thought we could start off today with some interesting topicality. The New York Sun headlines that I think makes those of us who monitor the markets cringe. It said, kaboom, Dow 18,000. And I think the irony of that statement is, you know, eventually there might just be a kaboom, but not on the upside. The headline, made the top of the Drudge Report. It's linked everywhere from Bloomberg around the world. Yes, it's the highest close in the Dow's history. We haven't seen anything like it. Our economy apparently is firing on all eight cylinders. It seems to be garnering most of the attention of investors out there, but no bull market lasts forever. What do you see for 2015 for stocks, and how do you think that could impact the precious metals?
Well, I think that what we're seeing, Chris, is like brilliant propaganda. I mean, the story that is being delivered is that the U.S. economy is now recovering strongly, I guess. Employment's improving, and the stock market is reflective of all this. And in my opinion, nothing could be further from the truth. I do not believe the U.S. economy has any vitality. I mean, basically, it's kind of holding in there because they're putting enough money into the system that it doesn't collapse. And quite frankly, it does look better than a number of other economies in the world, Europe, Japan, etc. But nevertheless, it doesn't underwrite the kind of price action we've seen in the stock market. These price action in the stock market, I don't believe there's any true price discovery going on. I think there's massive manipulation of all markets, and it's absolutely essential for confidence reasons that the stock market be seen to be doing well. And I think that is the major factor behind the pricing. But unfortunately, you can only sort of avert reality for a while. At some point, I think there will be a day of reckoning. Whether it's in 2015 or later, I'm not sure. But I would be extremely careful if I were an investor today in the traditional stock market.
Harry S. Dent also recommends, you know, strong diversification away from overpriced financial assets. And maybe that's a good transition into another interesting topic. Most people don't follow the Russian ruble. It's not, I think, a trader's favorite. It's not a market that we hear a lot about. But when priced in terms of gold in terms of rubles might be the better way. It's one of the more interesting charts, and I've placed this chart up on the website with this interview along with you today so people can get a visual illustration of just how gold in terms of ruble also rolled over, just as we've seen in virtually every currency, up until this year. And it started to turn around a little bit. And before you know it, in less than 2 months, just a few weeks, gold in terms of ruble skyrocketed over 100%. And I know people say, oh, well, that's because the oil price crashed. Obviously, it was a safe haven. Well, that's easy to say. In retrospect, you know, we look into the rearview mirror. Don't you think that that precious metals component that no one was probably thinking of in Russia, in fact, gold had just lost 50% of its value until this year, and all of a sudden it shoots up over 100%, just a modicum of gold in a portfolio would have shielded any investor in Russia. Shouldn't we be thinking along those lines here in the West?
Chris, that's an excellent point. You know, I mean, I think people basically just don't pay attention. Like, I was in Argentina earlier this year when the peso was falling apart. And I was thinking, like, anybody that owns gold in Argentina is fine. And yet the average citizen was getting crushed. And it's happening in more and more places. Like, and to take the point further, like, if you actually analyze the finances of Russia, they're going through a hard time right now because I think they're being geopolitically attacked. And part of this reason for the low oil prices, they're trying to sort of really destroy Russia. But the fact is that if you look at their finances, they're in infinitely better state than the United States. They don't have nearly the debt. And I think it's a great indicator to the citizen in America and in Canada, for that matter. They'd think you've got to have some diversification in the asset that basically doesn't have any, counterparty risk. Counterparty risk is going to be a huge problem going forward. Gold bullion has zero counterparty risk, and I think it should be in every portfolio.
No, it's well said. And, you know, with all of this money printing, trillions of dollars, arguably over $15 to $20 trillion by central bankers, and just in recent years, since the credit crisis, from 2000 up until today, the ruble has debased 95% in terms of gold. Now, to illustrate the significance of folks who actually had the foresight to add some of the yellow metal or silver, this means that a $50,000 investment would now have the purchasing power of $1 million or rubles, but five times the increase that we've seen in the U.S. dollar, gold in terms of U.S. dollars. Now, again, highlight, underscore, embolden the significance here, because we never know. Markets are a bit more tricky, I think, than a lot of people. They're called complex systems. When that tipping point could come with the U.S. dollar. But when it does, it usually strikes like a lightning bolt.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I think basically the United States dollar, I guess, has been about the strongest currency in the world recently. And if you actually look at the reality, I mean, it doesn't deserve to be. But more importantly, I mean, it's starting to put pressure on the U.S. economy. I mean, the fact is that the dollar is too strong now. Well, from an industrial point of view, I mean, basically export-imports is going to start working against the United States. I think it'll probably happen in 2015, that the dollar problem, I think that's got the people in Washington terrified, because if that were to happen, interest rates would rise. And the one thing that the North American economy cannot tolerate is higher interest rates. It would just bring the whole scene to a grinding halt. So, I mean, your point's well taken. I mean, the fact is that there's a lot of stuff out there that can go very badly wrong, and yet most people have no diversification away from the fact that everything looks wonderful.
Well, you know, there's been such a flood of money, and of course, then the institutions and the banks, especially globally, they have no better place to park it than U.S. equities. It's gained momentum. It now has momentum of its own, a life of its own, and it just feeds upon itself, I think, like a bonfire. Unfortunately, all of that just looks like a mountain of inflation looking for a place, and eventually that has to work its way into the commodities sector, and particularly the precious metals. But, you know, I also wanted to ask you, if I could, about the oil plunge. You know, it certainly put a strain on the system, but it also lowers the cost of production for energy-intensive sectors and industries, such as precious metals mining. Do you see that as a potential positive?
Well, that actually is a good point. Like, I mean, I've been sort of studying this whole oil equation recently. I mean, I quite frankly did not foresee a $50 drop in the price of oil. And I think for all the good things it's doing, it's putting more money in the consumer's pocket, because he doesn't have to pay as much for his gas and his heating oil and what have you. But at the same time, there's so many financial implications to this that could be very negative in the sense. And the other point is that most of the job creation in the United States in the last 5 years has come in the fracking states. And I think fracking is in deep trouble if oil prices were to remain where they are. This is a real wild card that I don't think people fully understand.
You know, the Sprott Gold Miners ETF, SGDM ticker, has eclipsed apparently over $100 million in asset. It actually, it's the most successful new ETF of the year. It's only been around roughly 6 months now. Just such a huge number in, as far as assets are concerned. I'd like your thoughts as to why it is that investors have gravitated to this ETF.
Well, there's two reasons. Three reasons, really. I think your point earlier that I didn't answer was the fact that, yes, gold mining, will benefit from lower energy prices, because that has been one of the problems. Like, that's one of the costs that has already gotten somewhat out of control. But secondly, if you look at gold shares, I mean, related to the price of the metal, even though the metal is depressed, the gold shares are even more depressed. I think this is one of the greatest buying opportunities, if not the greatest buying opportunity in history for gold shares. But the third reason why our ETF is interesting is that generally they just take the indexes and they throw in whatever the index weights are. we are actually trying to choose the best gold stocks in the world to put into the ETF. And I mean, I think you really have to differentiate on a quality basis, and that's what we're trying to do. I would encourage anybody that's listening to this, and I sound like I'm talking my own book, but I really believe that this is a phenomenal opportunity to get into a quality group of gold stocks at a remarkably good price.
Any other topicality, any other issues that you'd like to share with our listeners today as this dialogue winds down?
No, I would, other than to wish them all a happy new year. I think it's going to be a struggle, but a happy new year anyways. But the fact is that I just want to reiterate again, I mean, because of the terrible price action, much of which has been created in gold and silver and the shares, most people have just avoided the whole sector, and now there's just sort of distaste for it. This is one of the great opportunities in history, and I would encourage all the listeners to take advantage of it.
One way to take advantage for, you know, nervous folks, start allocating a small portion of equities profits from the past 4 or 5 years into the precious metals mining sector. And that's why I threw out that ticker symbol for folks, because, you know, as you say, I mean, you all have specialized knowledge in the area, and it could boost the bottom line in the coming years. John Embry, gosh, we thank you so much for taking time for us, and we wish you continued success in 2015.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's nice chatting with you.